Previously on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
Cliff, an elderly couple came back from a wedding when I almost did a welding.
Starts running with the giraffe and the rabbit through the forest. A woman and her baby were talking, they were taking public transportation. Possibly they were talking it too while they were on there. They were on the bus.
They're welding, talking.
They were on their way to a welding.
Yeah. Sombreros and all.
You're right, sir. I think now.
Now,
every time Kendall, you belch in a listener's face. You belch in their faith and their face. It's two different things. Oh yes, Kissel is a hippopotamus.
You saw hippopotamus and you tried to say Kendall. That's why. Association.
Coming in at 9.0 on the Richter scale and crashing straight through the bathroom scale, here they are again, the hosts of Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast, Cliff and Kendall.
You got bills to pay and the rent is due, but you spent your money all up on food. Your car blew up into a fireball. It would be nice to escape it all, to go someplace where the laughs are free, and there are bad jokes and bad hosts and bits of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast, we're the show that'll never say die. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall are your hosts, come along for the ride. We can laugh about everything and make it through anything. Belch in your face and hear that ding-a-ring. And occasionally we sing. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. And now that you, the listener, are here, we're ready to start the show.
Oh, Kendall, how sloppy will we all get one of these days?
Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
We're already sloppy.
Well, we're big fat slobs. That's for damn
sure. The time
has
arrived.
The times, they are changing, but I can't even change my pants because they're too small. I can't even get them off of me.
Oh, if only. Well, that's why you're going to have to upgrade to sweatpants.
I'm going to have to upgrade to something with a drawstring.
I really wish we could just wear sweatpants all the time.
Do
just
you?
Be comfortable? Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wish everybody wore them, and then it wouldn't be so weird if I wore them. I just want to be comfy, you know, squeezing my fat ass into a pair of jeans. It's just not comfy. You know, you lose circulation, and your legs stop working. It's just not. It's not fun by any means. And suits are the ultimate in uncomfortability.
Oh, I hate suits. I hate it. I hate having to go anywhere where I have to wear one.
I know, we were talking about the 50s, like, dressing up in a suit all the time. People just wore suits all the time.
First of all, they got up in the morning, put on a suit and a tie, to eat breakfast. Can you imagine Kendall having to do that?
I want to eat breakfast in my pajamas, where I belong. I have to wear a suit every time I go to the Magic Castle, you know.
Alohomora!
It's like in the middle of summer when it's like just 1,000 degrees outside and you have to put on this big heavy suit. It's terrible.
Oh, I was watching a movie from the 40s last night. Mm-hmm. Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers movie, and they were playing golf. And I swear, they were out there, had on like a sweater, you know, down to their wrist. One guy had on a suit and tie, and they're swinging and they're walking, carrying golf clubs, and I'm sweating looking at them.
I know, I can't walk two steps in my suit without being a wet mess, like just drenched all over.
You're a wet dripping mess is what you become. But if we look at the downward spiral from the, you know,
of America.
Yeah, of America. From like the 40s and 50s when everybody dressed up, you dressed for dinner, and you know, ladies wore dresses all day.
Smoking parlor. they never did that. You'd never hear that in the 40s.
You excused yourself to the bathroom, mm-hmm. to do that today.
Yeah.
Goodness knows, anything goes. You know, there's Belching on Podcast.
Yeah.
And just from the dressiness to the slouchiness, people going to school, out into public wearing pajama bottoms. People like me going out looking like total shit. And it's like,
what are those called? The jean pants that are like
pajama
stretchy
jeans,
or do they call them something weird? Don't they like jinkets or
jamama peens? I don't know what they call them.
I don't know. There's some weird word.
But yeah, where are we going in society? Do you think one day it'll just be like we'll get up, put on a snuggie, and go to work?
Well, I don't think it'll ever get to that. But
That's me stopping you saying, don't you think people, don't you think the Dowager Countess from Downton Abbey, she never thought it would get to this, where we're rolling out of bed and our pajamas going to the store.
I know, but I think we've reached a level in our society that, I'm not saying we've like hit rock bottom, but I think that we've gotten to a point where things are so like just casual and sloppy that I feel like there's going to be a resurgence in a lot of things. Like, I think there'll be a resurgence in, like, writing a note to somebody because it's so nostalgic. I think there's going to be a resurgence in dressing up for occasions. I feel like we're at the bottom of a curve. We're going to go back. We're at the bottom of a roller coaster. We're going to go up, not all the way to where we were, but we're going to just slightly increase and get back to some of those original ideals.
Oh, the original ideals that the forefathers put into the Constitution when they were wearing their frilly frocks and their powdered wigs, and they had their snuff boxes in a ring on their finger, and they had pantaloons. That's what they wanted.
Well, pantaloons would fit me better.
That's what they wanted, Kendall. That's what our slave-holding forefathers wanted. And do we want to please them? Do we want to uphold what all these slaveholders wrote? Yes. That's what I'm asking.
Cliff, thanks for alluding what I actually meant from what I said.
You're really questioning the foundations of what America stands for.
I'm a white southern racist, Cliff. That's what the bottom of everything. That's what we're getting at.
Oh,
I want to get back to wearing my old suit with my my little hangy necktie piece.
Oh,
and a big
God.
Cowboy hat and guns on both hips.
Guns on both hips. Your hips are so huge, you can fit however many guns you want. Just like gun after gun. Kendall, you're fat.
And that's what I say about that.
Oh my.
Don't act like it's never happened over on that side.
And that is not a joke, Kendall.
God, I wish it was a joke.
Many restaurants and bars are now, their placards outside say, maximum occupancy, like 200 people or
Cliff and Kendall.
Yeah, it's either or, not both.
Well, and rightfully so. Oh, Cliff.
No.
An old man went to the Social Security office to sign up, and he had stood in line for a very long time until it was finally his turn, and the lady behind the counter asked him for identification. Well, he went to his wallet, got out of his back pocket, and realized he had left his ID at home. And the lady told him that it was all right. He could just show her his chest hair, and if they were gray, she knew he was old enough for Social Security. So after everything was done, he went home, told his wife how his day went, and he said that he had forgotten his wallet home, and the lady at the Social Security office, blah, 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 told him to show his hair. And after listening to the story, his wife told him if he had dropped his pants, he probably could have gotten disability, too.
Oh, shit.
Bitch, wife.
What a stone-cold bitch, Kendall. A middle-aged man.
We're going down in years.
Yeah. sad, fat, pathetic, bald, middle-aged man. Me. Walks into Walmart and asks where the pharmacy counter is, and he is directed to it. When he reaches it, he asks to see the pharmacist. It's only natural, everybody. Mm-hmm. And the pharmacist comes, and the man, looking around furtively, look it up, asks quietly, do you sell Viagra here? And the pharmacist answers firmly, yes, sir, we certainly do. And the man then asks, now, do you think I could get it over the counter? And the pharmacist thinks for a moment and then says, well, perhaps if you took 5 or 6 pills at once, you might.
Why would anybody want to get it over the counter, Cliff?
Why? I don't know why, frankly.
Two old coots. We're both
us.
Only what were we doing? Short. Well, they were these two old coots were a year short of retirement from the assembly line. But one Monday morning, that didn't keep Joe from boasting to Manny about his sexual endurance.
Oh.
Three times, gasped Manny. And he said, how'd you do it? He said, well, it was easy. Joe looked down modestly and said, I made love to my wife, and then I rolled over, took a 10-minute nap. I woke up again, I made love to her again, and took another 10-minute nap. Then I put it, then I put it to her again. Can you believe
it? Put it to her, baby.
I woke up this morning, I felt like a bull, I tell you. He said, you got to try it. So Manny said, yes, I do. Lorraine won't believe it's happening. So that night, he made love to his wife, took a 10-minute nap, made love to her again, took another nap, woke up and made love to her a third time, then rolled over and fell sound asleep. Well, he woke up feeling like $1 million, Cliff.
Uh-oh.
Pulled on his clothes, ran to the factory where he found his boss waiting outside for him. What's up, boss? He said, I've been working for you 20 years and never been late once. You aren't going to hold these 20 minutes against me, are you? And he said, what 20 minutes? Growled the boss. Where were you on Tuesday or Wednesday?
Oh.
He was making bone sessions. That's where he was.
Bone sessions. Kendall, a blonde man, frantically called 911 and he says, help, my wife has gone into labor and her contractions are 10 minutes apart. That's what the wife, so she did that.
And then the 911 operator said, what's going on over there?
The 911 operator says, now, is this her first child? To which the blonde man replies, of course not, you idiot. This is her husband. And, you know, this is just an aside. That joke is over. Okay. But, you know, my wife, you didn't even know probably that I was married.
You keep telling me.
But I am.
Yet to believe it. Your wife who lives in Canada?
Yeah, you were the best man in absentia. Uh-huh. And my wife, you know, she got me to believe in religion. Yeah, she really did.
You can hear from my stunned silence.
Yeah, until I married her, I didn't believe in hell.
Oh.
Sorry, dear.
Did you get my anecdote over there I was going to read?
Oh!
A man being mugged by two thugs put up a tremendous fight, and finally the thugs
fight it.
Subdued him and took his wallet. Now, upon finding only $2 in his wallet, the surprised thug said, why'd you put up such a fight? And the man said, I was afraid you would find the $200 hidden in my shoe.
Oh, shit.
That was probably that same blonde man.
Kendall, speaking of blondes, what's the first thing a blonde says in the morning?
Oh.
Thanks, guys. Kendall, what do you call a brunette and three blondes on a corner?
Oh, I don't know.
I know you don't, Kendall. You don't. You just see if you got three condoms. What happens when a blonde what happens when a blonde gets Alzheimer's disease?
I don't know.
Oh, Kendall, her IQ goes up. It goes up.
Poor blondes.
All the way up. Kendall.
Will anyone ever salute a blonde, Cliff?
Will we someday. Will, Kendall. There's no topic that we won't eventually get
episode 637.
Salute to blondes.
All right, Cliff, I gotta take a break. I want to start formulating that episode right now.
I'll make some notes while it's fresh in your memory.
We'll be right back right after this.
Don't touch that dial. There's more sass on the way. Stay tuned for more Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
Пока вы смотрите этот ролик, сотни мужчин качественно меняют свою личную жизнь благодаря крему Распутин. Это новая система по повышению потенции, которая помогает улучшить качество и твердость эрекции и делает удовольствие ярче. Крем Распутин начинает действовать всего через 60 секунд и не обладает побочными эффектами, свойственными другим препаратам. Закажите крем Распутин сейчас, и вы получите упаковку в подарок с вашим заказом. 1-800-350-8860. Крем Распутин. Стань легендой за 60 секунд.
Make some room, Cliff and Kendall are back. No, seriously, they're morbidly obese. You're going to have to scoot over.
Oh.
All right, Cliff, we're back.
We're back. Kendall, now what is, if you could bring back one thing from like a former bygone era of like formal wear, what would you bring back?
Oh, formal wear. I was going through all these foods in my mind.
You're like, I'd bring back Jell-O pudding pops.
probably MC Hammer pants, because MC that's the only thing that would hold all the fat in my, you know, lower, below my waist.
You know, another thing I'd bring back is, and I don't know if it's really gone. I kind of want to go look, see if they still make it. The Rice Krispies Treats cereal. It was like broken up Rice Krispies Treats. You just poured milk on it.
Now we're going off on tangent to food.
Yeah.
But I really want to bring back, I know everybody hated it except for me, clear Pepsi.
I loved it. I felt like a base age person every time I drank. I loved it.
I would kill to get my hands on some clear Pepsi right now.
Oh my God. I know.
I was like, it is clear and it tastes like Pepsi.
I thought it was great.
And you could hide it in your thing. Like, I'm drinking some water. I'm being healthy.
I know. It was fantastic.
I'm drinking a little seltzer water. Anyway, way off the topic, Cliff.
Way off topic.
What are we talking about? Oh, how sloppy we've all become.
How sloppy. What sloppy, you fat like flabbos.
Oh, Cliff, speaking of flabbos, look.
Yeah.
When we were on break, Mr. Snodbottom ran to the store to get some donuts. And so, I know. I'm thinking that maybe we could not do the Chubby Challenge. He's not here to hear us. He'll never know.
He doesn't listen back.
He doesn't listen when we do it the first time.
I know.
I'm telling you. I just think it'll be a disappointment to us and the listeners that we should just not.
The listeners, frankly, we know, listeners. We know when you hear the Chubby Challenge results every week, you want to vomit and you want to come smack us in the face and say, "Look, take the food, just slap the food out of our hands." We wish that you would do that, by the way.
I really wish they would. Oh, wait, here he comes. Oh, Cliff, and it's just so sad how much. Things, you know, are that I've gained all this weight on. But I swear, next week, listeners, for our Chubby Challenge, we'll have lost more weight. Oh, yeah. So we're just finishing up the Chubby Challenge.
I would rather lose 90 fucking pounds.
Oh,
but Cliff. I think I might gain it.
It's time to play Would You Rather.
I would rather
do a lot of things than be what I am now.
Yeah.
I'd rather go back to the 80s and relive it all over again.
Oh, sure.
Would you rather wake up naked sore and without any memory?
No memory of the night next to the Burger King who said I had it my way? I would prefer waking up in the nudie naked next to Ronald McDonald telling me that I was loving it. Frankly, I think Ronald McDonald is less weird, even with a fear of clowns. See how psychic we are? We're connected telepathically. Yeah,
listeners don't even realize what just happened. Go ahead, Cliff, ask me a question.
Would you rather lose your keys while running from Freddy Krueger or lose your cell phone running from Michael Myers?
Well, I think I'd rather be running from Michael Myers because he's slow.
Oh, but which would you rather lose, your keys or your cell phone?
Well, if we're just asking which I'd rather lose my keys. But if I'm, depending on who I'm being chased by, I mean, Freddy Krueger may be too fast and I could call the police, but I'm going to be captured by him. Michael Myers is just too slow.
You couldn't call. The only way you could call is if you got the phone out through a vajayjay in the nightmare.
Well, then I'll take Michael Myers.
Every nightmare. Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day low prices. You?
Every day low prices. Cliff. Would you rather zombies take over the world or have a World War III?
I would rather have a World War III.
Would you? Would you? Would you? Would you?
Sure.
Would you?
I don't want zombies. Come on.
They might be friendly. You don't know. You've never met a zombie.
They could be friendly.
If they would eat some of this fat off my stomach, I would happily bring them on.
Now, if that became like a side business where they ate away your fat,
we could put zombies to work.
Sign me the fuck up. Kendall, would you rather?
Oh,
would you rather live in the poorest part of Haiti or be richer than Bill Gates with more power than Obama via a deal with the almighty Prince of Darkness, Satan himself?
Oh, Cliff, I'd never take a Satan deal.
Oh, Kendall, you lie. You can't fool Satan.
I wouldn't do it, Cliff. I wouldn't do it. I'll be poor. Cliff, would you rather be a black man in the southern U.S. in the 1800s or a woman in Afghanistan today?
Oh, Kendall, either one. Flip of the coin. Doesn't matter to me.
Good answer.
I'd gladly be either of those, everybody.
Hard-hitting answers from Cliff.
Hard-hitting answers from me over here, everybody. Yeah.
So ask me a
question. Would you rather have nosy neighbors or noisy neighbors?
I think I'd rather have noisy neighbors.
Oh, I'd rather have nosy neighbors.
No, I can't stand people in my business. Because then I can't be noisy because they're too nosy.
They're too up in your business. Can you get up out of his business, everybody?
Cliff, would you rather be rich and hated or poor and loved?
I feel like if I was rich, I could buy love. And so...
Oh, you'd be buying fake love. You'd only be thinking it was love.
Hey, if I think it, then it's reality. And so there you go.
If you can think it, okay. Okay.
Only reality that
okay.
I know.
Okay. It's all the questions I got for you, Cliff.
Oh, it's all the questions I got for you, Kendall. I'd rather
stop playing this game.
Our listeners are like, I'd rather turn this off. And click, there it goes.
I'd rather shoot myself in the face.
But who wouldn't?
Oh, Cliff. Anyone listening to this show would. Cliff, I see someone coming down the line over there.
I see him coming down the line.
Yeah. Oh, it's the trolley.
Welcome back, trolley.
We haven't seen you in a while. How are the kids, trolley?
How are the go-karts and lawnmowers, your children? Oh, sorry to hear that.
Oh, he's just going to Busheltown. He's tired of talking to us.
He's like, screw this shit. This week's very special journey to Busheltown is called Bushelton Abbey, Part 1. We begin this very special mini-series event in the office of Busheltown's most creative advertising genius, Dave Dipper. Dave sits behind his desk smoking a large cigar. He's working on a new ad campaign when his assistant, Barry, knocks at the door.
What is it? I'm working on an ad campaign. You better be bringing me a drink.
Sorry to bother you, Dave, but I thought you'd want to know that the accountant called and said to tell you that the rabbit died, whatever that means.
The rabbit died? Oh, no. Are you sure that's what he said?
What's the big deal, Dave? You an animal nut or something?
Crap on a crutch. The rabbit died is code that we're... Close the door.
Oh, code for what?
The agency is out of dough.
We're broke?
Unlike you, you fat son of a bitch, the ad agency of Sprinkles, Cobbler, Dipper, Lice is flat busted.
Ixnay on the insults, Dave. How are we getting out of this jam? Or as my grandma used to say, how are we getting out of this marmalade?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm no doctor, but your granny was a kook. Get out of my office.
Well, sure thing. But just remember, you're Dave Dipper, the biggest ad man in Busheltown. I'll get out of your office. You get us out of this marmalade.
Out of this marmalade. Out of this marmalade. Get me out of this marmalade. I'll get you. Wait. That's it. An old blue-haired granny standing knee-deep in a gigantic spoonful of marmalade. That's perfect. The slogan, get me out of this marmalade. The top brass over at Blopsmush Jams and Jellies are going to love that for their new marmalade campaign. Dipper, you've done it again.
The next day, Dave held a meeting to show the idea to Blopsmush Jams and Jellies. Dave pitched his heart out to old man Blopsmush and his nephew Blop Jr. Dave knew it was all or nothing, as the knowledge of the agency's money woes had been eating at his belly since his early morning bed whiskey.
Mr. Blopsmush, Blop Jr., I think you'll agree that marmalade has a tendency to be seen as a taboo breakfast spread. The young aren't sure what it is, and the old can't quite remember if it's a jelly, a jam, or some damn molasses glop. But Blopsmush Jams and Jellies is going to change all of that. Allow me to unveil the new Blopsmush campaign. It's going to be on billboards, in the Busheltown Examiner, even on the back of the middle school. This new marmalade, it's for teens who text each other breakfast ideas. It's for grandmas who are unsure what's safe for them to eat.
Hey, let me just stop you right there, man. My grandpappy's second wife died in a marmalade accident down to the factory. She was closing up the factory alone one night, and there was a marmalade leak. And now she's trying to get away, but it covered her ankles and she couldn't move. It's like being stuck in tar, man.
Anyhow, she died because it weren't noticed she was missing till after the wolves from the East Busheltown Woods had already smelt the spilt marmalade. Well, that was the end of her.
Look, Blob Jr., I sympathize with you, but this is an ace campaign. Marmalade sales are going to explode like a rye factory if you go with us. But if you don't want this slogan, this blue-haired granny stuck knee-deep in marmalade saying, "Get me out of this marmalade," well, you can leave Sprinkles, Cobbler, Dipper, Lice, and take your business and get the hell out of Busheltown. Busheltown is my town. Busheltown is my town.
I think we're going to have to pass, Mr. Big Shot. Come on, Grandpappy. Let's go. Later that afternoon, Dave was in his office fuming mad over the loss of the lucrative Blobsmush Jams and Jellies contract. He was also finishing his 17th liter of brown whiskey.
Barry, get in here.
What is it, Dave?
I blew it.
You think we're stuck in this marmalade for good? What about Mrs. Cobbler, Dr. Sprinkles, or Professor Lice? Surely they must have ideas about how to stay solvent.
I can't tell them. They can never know.
Why not?
If I can't tell them, my partners, you think I can tell you?
So we're closing?
No. I won't let it happen. I'll get the money. Somehow.
What did you do, Dave?
I said I couldn't tell you. Listen, I'm at the end of my ride here. The whole ad agency could fail. We're all out of scratch, and I've got an itch.
Do you remember that?
I said I've got an itch.
I know, but do you think that's such a good idea?
I said I got an itch, so come here and scratch it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And then they did it, right there in Dave's office where he'd done it to so many people so many times before.
Oh, yes!
Later that night, while Barry was falling asleep in his one-room efficiency apartment above the Russian nail salon, Dave Dipper arrived at his own home in the wealthy Busheltown suburb known for some reason as Bushelton Abbey.
Oh, I'm at last. I need a drink. It's been 20 minutes since I finished my road flask. I can almost see how many fingers I'm holding up.
What's that, dear?
Oh, nothing, hon. How was your day?
Just fine, but better now that my loving husband, the father of our children, is home. Oh, that sound means the latest batch of meth is done.
That's all for part one of Busheltown Abbey. Tune in soon for part two. Now back to you, Cliff and Kendall.
Ooh, Cliff. Some crazy things going over in Busheltown.
Oh, here they come. They're the food eaters.
That's us. We're going to change our podcast name to Food Eaters.
Watch out, food will chew you up. Oh, Kendall, we will chew up all food we're ever given a chance to, and that is what is so sad it makes me weep.
Don't get me started, Cliff. Oh, you heard the Chubby Challenge results. Don't get me started crying again.
I heard them. America heard them.
It's too late to go back now. Everyone's heard them.
Yeah. If they'd read it, we could have said read it and weep, because they would have.
Hear it and cry. If our listeners are as obsessed with the 80s as Cliff is, go to cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com, or give us a call on our fat line at 818-3084-FAT.
Why don't they do it, Kendall? The finest clothing made is a person's own skin, but of course, society demands something more than this. And that was said by the Cliff and Kendall of his time, Mark Twain.
With a man who trims himself to suit everybody will soon whittle himself away. That was Charles M. Schwab.
Oh, whittle himself away, just like you whittle and leave big piles of whittling
away.
Shavings. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If only I could whittle the fat away, Cliff.
Oh, if only, Kendall. If only. I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you here next week.
Well, sure we will, and we'll have a grand old time.
Listening to today's show, that's 30 minutes to an hour, mostly well spent.
Eat on that one, Americans.